12:12, Wintrust Business Lunch, WGN Radio. John Williams here. And as always, if there's something that you want to add to or ask on the show, 312-981-7200 is a good way to jump in. We start on the Wintrust Business Lunch today with John Beaver, the financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. You can always visit phase3advisory.com. That's the number 3 in the website. Hey, John, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you on this nice, warm spring day.
Yeah, it's just about as good as it gets. Despite the warmth, inflation is cooling. That's a good thing, right?
It is a good thing, but it is still on the hot side, and it's like the news of the last several months. Inflation, recession, rates, what's going to happen with the stock market, and as always, there's the uncertainty. This is the period of time where as inflation is heating up and the Fed is fighting it, we don't know which way it's going to go. But it is cooling right now as of the current readings. CPI year over year is now down to about 5%. The Michigan expectations of inflation, that actually came in a little hot today at 4.6% versus 3.7% for the next year. Those are expectations for the next year. But import prices, they actually came in down at 5% for the year now, for 1 year, year over year. So that's actually kind of a good thing. So we've got a fight going on in inflation. The good thing is that wages are catching up, so that's good. The consumer is still in pretty good shape, but starting to get a little tight. And at the same time, the banks now are starting to lend less. So are we going to have a recession or not? That's the question. Well, mortgage rates are moving down a little bit. That's good. Earnings are likely to decline this year. That's not good, but this economy is very resilient. You know, just as right now we're in this spring in our climate, in the economy, in the debt cycle, which lasts about 60 years, we're actually in our economic spring. And in economic spring, the economy tends to be pretty resilient. So this puts the Fed in a predicament because they got some things that indicate, well, it's slowing down. Some things indicate not slowing down enough. So the question for the next couple of weeks is, will the Fed raise rates in May?
How much are you thinking about will banks themselves start to curtail lending because of a variety of factors, including what happened to California, but also with interest rates where they are? But I mean, is that going to be impactful? Are you watching that?
Yes, it will be impactful. Not a lot, but some impactful. So the first thing is when rates rise, consumers borrow less. We've seen that in the mortgage market. So it's a good thing if we can get these mortgage rates down even just a little bit. A sidebar on that. Every 0.5% that the mortgage rates come down 0.5% on $100,000 of mortgage, that drops the payment by about $33. Kind of a rough figure, but that's a good one to use. So that can be meaningful, especially for first-time homebuyers that might be borrowing $300,000. They might be able to trim $100 a month off that mortgage rate. So as rates go up, that does curtail some consumer borrowing. The banks themselves are tightening their lending standards, no doubt, as a result of this. For two things, as a result of what happened with Silicon Valley Bank, but also all these banks are sitting with losses in their treasury bond portfolios, the longer-dated bonds. So the banks have to be more cautious at this point.
I wonder what you would say. We'll pause here, but let's pick it up here in a minute with where do I put my cash now? Should I keep funding my 401k and my mutual funds, even though they're going down? Should I be in bonds? Should I be in cash? Just given the lay of the land over the next 6 months, what should I be doing with any money that I have? And don't say pay off your debt. I know to do that. It's 12:16. It's 12:19. We're talking to John Beaver from Phase 3 Advisory Services about the economy and what it means to you and me. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag out there you were describing, John. What should people be doing if they're regularly investing in their savings?
Well, the first thing we do with our clients is to always identify the time frame for the money. Is this money that's shorter term, like maybe 3, 4, 5 years, or is this longer term money, maybe medium term for college or long term for retirement? So once you identify that, then it's a little easier to build the portfolio. So right now we've got this thing going on with rates. Are rates going up or are rates going down? So we got short term rates higher than longer term rates. That indicates a recession is coming. Now it's kind of interesting. As the short-term rates go higher and higher, the longer-term rates may come down even a little bit more out of that concern that we're going to have a recession and the economy is going to slow. So what does that do for the bond side of the portfolio? Well, if you're a short-term investor, you're going to need the money within the next year. Obviously, you keep that money short-term. And there are some pretty good opportunities that have actually developed now that interest rates are normalizing. There are actually some mutual and exchange-traded funds now that are giving you pretty good access to short-term T-bills that would be 1 year or less, Treasury inflation-protected securities, and Treasury floaters, so you can still keep your money safe. And if you're looking for something that has a fixed duration to it, you want to have a bond, a short-term bond, or a CD, those rates have also come up. There's still rates out there around 5%. So that would help with short-term. Longer-term on bond money, the concern is how high are rates going to go over the next 10 years. So you need to talk that over with your advisor. On the stock side, anybody that's a short-term trader or they need the money in the next, let's say, 12 to 18 months, I really think that money has an opportunity to come off the table right now. This market has been range-bound, stuck around 4,000 on the S&P 500, upside maybe 4,200. We didn't quite get there this time, downside maybe 3,800. And with the recession still out there and the Fed indicating, yeah, there's a chance there is going to be one, I'd just be cautious on shorter-term money in the market now. However, having said that, if we do get into a recession, then the market tends to sell off going into the recession and bottoms as the recession is starting. So that gives a great buying opportunity. So today might not be the best buying opportunity. That may come in the next 12 to 18 months. Long-term money should still be going in the market a month at a time. As I mentioned before, we're in the springtime of our economy, and the market tends to push higher over time. Not necessarily year over year. You'll get these setbacks like we had last year and maybe even this year. But over time, it does advance.
But you are describing buying it on the way down now. You just said keep putting your money in the market if your horizon is long term. Don't wait for the bottom. Put it in right now.
Don't wait for the bottom. No one can pick the bottom. If they get it, it's an accident or it's lucky. Even in the industry, you know, none of us can actually pick the bottom. So if someone is an active trader, that's a different situation. But for most people, you just keep putting that money in at this juncture. You'll buy on the way down, watch the market come back up again, and all those purchases will make money over time.
If your horizon is more than 2 years.
Well, and I say for dollar cost averaging, which is what we're just describing, I like to see a time frame well in excess of 5 years.
Well, but you did. But what was it you just mentioned? 18 months. That was you think that's the bottom? I know we're not picking the bottom here, but didn't you just say
that? But what I would expect to see, softness in the market, bottom sometime in the next 12 to 18 months, and then the market moves up from there. So if we're talking a year to a year and a half, maybe slushy and on the downside, and then another year and a half to the upside, we could be looking still at 3 to 4 years before we get back to the previous high that we hit at 4,800 on the S&P. That would have been the beginning of last year.
What if somebody's doing some sort of NFT or some sort of more targeted investing in equities? Are there areas that you think are pretty good right now or promising?
Well, yeah, one of the first things is right now I would not exit out of natural resources. We are in the inflationary part of the cycle that could last for, could be a decade or two. So I wouldn't bail out of that. Where the real good opportunities are right now, it's really hard to find where the cheapness is. Now, having said that, you know, the big banks, they've rallied today on earnings. Those banks are down 20 to 30% from their highs. So if someone's looking for consistent income, that might be a way to go. But it's not going to give a substantial capital gain like we've seen in tech in the past couple of decades. The other opportunity, which is not popular to talk about, is actually international. International stocks are much more cheaply priced compared to U.S., and there tends to be this 10-year pendulum swing back and forth where international does better than U.S. So it's very possible that over the next 10 years, those international investments may do better than the U.S.
Can you forecast for us a little bit what the Fed's actions will be doing to mortgage interest rates?
So my best guess is that the Fed at the next meeting in May will raise rates a quarter point. You know, just because we get a little bit of a cooling in inflation, they're not going to fall into the trap of, okay, we're done. They're going to be relentless. They're going to be relentless about this. They told us that. When the Fed raises rates, they're slowing the economy. If they slow the economy, mortgage rates come down because mortgage rates ping off of the 10-year Treasury bond, not short-term rates. So if the Fed raises, that should bring these rates down. Now, we're hopeful that we're going to see the mortgage rates back down in the 5% range. Now, that doesn't mean low fives. You know, we could be at 5.75% sometime in the next 12 months.
Yeah. That's not bad.
No, and for those first-time home buyers, buyers sitting on the sidelines just waiting to get in, they should be prepared for this. They should be ready. They should be looking at the properties that they would be interested in and be ready to strike.
How close would the mortgage rates go down relative to the Fed raising it a quarter point? Does it happen right away, or is it gradual?
You know, it's all based on what the bond market does, because again, these mortgage rates ping off the 10-year treasury. So if you want to watch this, just watch the 10-year treasury rate, and that'll give you like a 1 to 3 day, notice on what the mortgage rates are going to do. It's pretty quick on how that moves. The question is, how fast will those 10-year treasury rates change based on what the Fed does?
One last thing, by the way.
Two increases coming.
I cut you off. Two increases coming up. You are talking about the Fed.
I think they're going to do two more increases, yes.
At 25 each.
Yeah, there's a right now it's about over an 80% probability that in May they're going to raise, and that's pretty much in the bag right now. So I think that's almost a given. Probably one more after that, just because the Fed is going to want to show that, you know, they're kind of in control on this thing. They're supposed to be responsive, but they don't want to get caught in the 70s trap where the Federal Reserve let go too soon on raising rates.
Okay. Any last words of wisdom before I let you go, John?
Yeah, don't let the volatility scare you. It creates opportunity.
That's what we're hearing from John Beaver from Phase 3 Advisory Services. Okay, John, we'll talk again in a week or so. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Looking forward to it.
1227 WGN Radio News is next.